Robert Kirkman, welcome back to the Invincible Podcast.
Glad to be back. Very exciting.
So I got to say, you joined us for episode 50 of this show where we talked about the end of the comic book, the final issue. And then you joined us again for episode 100 of this show where we talked about the season finale to season one. Now, it would have been really cool.
Do you guys know what episode this is?
It would have been really cool if this was episode 150 where we're talking about the season two finale. But you know what? Not everything needs to make it to 150 episodes. This is episode 144.
Oh, isn't that crazy?
Six away.
We have done none of this intentionally, by the way. This just happened.
That's insane.
Yep.
So the next one I appear on will be called Invincible, focusing on Marky issue one.
That'll be the there you go.
You heard it. That's the scoop. That's the scoop. He said it first here.
So yeah, that was almost 3 years ago, and here we are now talking about season two. Season two is done. The finale's out there. So
yes.
What you been doing for 3 years? What's going on? How's it been?
You're working on this damn show. No, it's been great. It's been a good time. I don't know. A lot of the show takes up a lot of my time. It's the main thing that I work on now. You'll see that I put out far fewer comics. That's because of the Invincible show. Mm-hmm. It's basically been that. I'm sure we'll get into it. There's not really much I can say, but we've been working on season two and three concurrently, and we did the voice records for season two and three all in one large chunk, with like no gap whatsoever. So it was literally like, congratulations, Steven. We've finished season two. We'll see you next week for season three.
But then it was, all right, congratulations. You finished season three and you don't see Steven for 2 or 3 years. I mean,
if we are fortunate enough to get a season four, there will be some gap in the recording there. But all I was going to say is like, it's just, it's all been like, it's one thing. It's still surprising to me that we haven't seen any leaks as far as casting for season three goes, because again, they recorded their voice lines so long ago. And there's some big names. It's very exciting. And we've just, been working, we're putting the finishing touches on season three right now. Over the next little bit, but that's a long.
Well, if there's any like Invincible Podcast exclusives you want to drop when it comes to like voices for season three, now's the time. You could do it.
I think you did give us an exclusive last time, or maybe it wasn't an exclusive, but it felt like one. So if you had, if there's not,
Try to think. Is there a good one? Is there a good one?
No one listens to this podcast anyway, Robert. So you're safe.
I don't think that's quite true.
Yeah.
We're waiting.
Will Adam Eve return in season three?
Adam Eve will definitely return in season three.
Here's first.
No, here's the question then. Yes. Is there somebody returning in season three that was in season one that wasn't in season two?
Yes, there are two big ones. Just off there the top we go. Of my head.
Nice.
Yeah.
I can guess who they are.
Yeah, I can guess this.
Yeah, guess, and I'll tell you if you're right or not.
Titan and Battle Beast.
Yeah.
That is correct.
Yeah.
Okay.
2 for 2.
Awesome.
Well, we're talking so much about season three, but season two did just drop. So when you're working on Invincible as the creator of Invincible or co-creator of Invincible and directing and as a writer, dealing with voice recording, do you have a typical day-to-day routine while working on Invincible, or is every day different than the other?
There's a few like scheduled meetings. Like every Tuesday I have a meeting about various things. And then that's with Marge Dean, the head of production, and David Alpert, my partner at Skybound. We sit down and talk about like all the high level stuff going on with various different things involving Invincible. And then, there's different meetings that reoccur, but there's not any kind of like set day to day, like, oh, I check in on this, I check in on that. You know, there's constantly, you know, emails on various things and approving designs. And Corey and I are on some email threads where we're, you know, getting fed designs very early on, like in the like earliest stages. So we can be like, oh, you know, change this, change that. And, you know, things like that, just to make the process fairly streamlined. And then, you know, the scripting process is an ongoing thing where we're constantly tweaking things here and there. And, you know, every now and then I'll hop in and go, I'm going to write that scene and I'll add some things to a thing or whatever. But there's, you know, there's so much going on. There's, you know, the days definitely fill up and usually somebody's hassling me about something that, you know, it needs to be looked at, or, you know, this title sequence isn't quite working in this way, or, you know, what's going on with this. And it'll usually take me too long to get back to them. And so I'm getting yelled at for not giving people answers. So, it's a fun process that seems never ending, but, it's all worth it in the end.
You actually, I listened back to our last chat, after the season one finale, and you had said that
I know.
But you had talked about how you were really looking forward to, you know, doing more completely original storylines exclusive to the show and everything. And then, you know, years go by, we see season two, and season two is even more so the comic, you know, very, very true to the comic. And there weren't as many, you know, changing lanes and stuff like that as there were in season one.
Some here and there. Sure.
There's, yeah, you know, I know. I was just wondering if that was something that you, you know, decided, no, we're going to stick more to the comic, or, you know, are some of those changes just, because a lot of the changes are, I think, you know, the smaller things, you know, your things like your shrinking ray, your, you know.
Wait, pun intended, the smaller things. Sorry.
I didn't mean to do that. I didn't mean
I'm
to
on point with the dad jokes today. Thank you.
Yes.
Thank
you. And Donald and, you know, things like that, as opposed to like the bigger overarching changes like season one had. Was that more of an intentional thing, or?
Well, I think that the thing with season one was that we were trying to make the Guardian's death the end of the premiere and the Omni-Man fight the finale. And we had to take some things from later in the comics and move them in between those two events to give us a full season. We didn't really have that problem when we sat down to map out season two. It was, you know, we want to open with the introduction of Angstrom and end with the big confrontation between Mark and Angstrom. And then it was like, oh, okay, well, you know, the things that are in between those events, you know, kind of more or less work. And some of the things that were in between those events have already been moved up into season one. And it all kind of worked. So, you know, it's a season by season, case by case basis. I think that, you know, there might be some more change. I can't really remember. Maybe there's more changes in season three. Maybe there's fewer. I don't know. Mm-hmm. There's not like a goal to stay closer to the comics or, you know, stray more, you know, at different times. I think that it's really just sitting down and saying, you know, does this work? You know, and for season two, it did work.
Yeah.
I still would love to do an entire episode that is all completely new stuff, just because if we're fortunate enough to go for many, many seasons, I think there will be some room here and there to, you know, do something new.
Yeah.
I'm not writing the Invincible comics right now, so I'm not really getting to do anything new in that universe. And so it would be neat to, you know, add some things that maybe I didn't get around to in the comics, or, you know, didn't have a chance to do, or decided I didn't want to do at the time, and kind of, you know, throw something new in there. And I also think it'd be a fun thing for the diehard comic book fans to get an episode where it's like, wait, I have no idea what's going to happen here. This is crazy.
And that's exactly why I asked that. I mean, don't get me wrong. The fact that it's like so close to the comic and has been adapting it so perfectly has been incredible. Like, and the way you guys have been taking it from the multiple issues throughout the whole thing and finding those spots.
Speaking of changes, though, this isn't really a question, more of a statement, but we've all been, we watched all the episodes together, the four of us. We had like Wyatt on stream and, you know, watching in the background. But out of all the changes that have happened, the biggest thing that got the biggest like reaction out of the four of us was Angstrom saying the word chainsaw. Oh, my God.
Seriously, like an entire episode.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
It was like a two-part, too. Because we saw the fox. We saw the fox, and everyone was like, oh, my God, is that Chainsaw? And then he says Chainsaw, and we just lost it. Yeah, it was incredible. Something we were never expecting, for sure, this early on in the story. So,
and I thought that would be a fun Easter egg for people that had read the final issue. You know, it was something when I was writing the final issue, I was like, huh. This would be funny to throw in here. And then when I was writing this episode, you know, I'm always trying to look for little things that, you know, can hint at things in the future or can be little Easter eggs for fans. And I think for anyone who's just watching the show, it's like, oh, okay, this is a dimension where Angstrom has a child and the child has a pet fox. Okay, cool. But if you know about that one scene in the comic, it is kind of a cooler moment.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. It's stupid what, you know what? Those moments pay off, really, Robert, because we seriously got such a fucking kick out of that moment. It made us so happy because, like, yeah, we do know everything that's going to happen, but there were the subtle changes in it were just fantastic. Dude, the fucking execution scene just going down.
Yeah, just that line.
That decapitating. That, like,
sequence of seeing all those different Angstroms was already, like, yeah, blowing us away, and then we got the chainsaw thing on top.
You
of
did.
It.
I got to give credit. Tanner Johnson directed the episode and just did an amazing job. That execution sequence was boarded by Chris Palmer, who's like a really amazing board artist that works on the show. But like, we have a really like crazy talented team on the show that's doing, you know, great stuff, and those sequences especially were like, you know, really effective, and it was really cool the way everything was laid out and the way it all came together.
Yeah, it did a great job of making us like understand Angstrom's torment that he was going through, because in the comic you can't really understand why he's, I mean, you understand why he's a villain and why he's mad at Invincible, but this really fleshes it out. It makes us like, oh, well, you can't really blame him for, you know.
Well, I mean, that to me is really the most like fun aspect of working on this show. I say in interviews, it's like working on a second draft, and, you know, maybe I should have written a second draft when I was working on the comic, but it's fun for me to be able to know everything that happens in the comics, know where all the stories go, and be able to kind of, you know, find like, oh, okay, if I take this time to show more of what happens to Angstrom in the other dimensions, you'll really get a better sense of why he hates Mark so much. And it's, you know, it's new stuff, but it heightens things and like ramps up the drama significantly. So, you know, you can say, ah, well, you know, the finale is pretty much exactly how it was in the comics, but hopefully it hits harder and is more emotional because we were able to find those little moments to add to, you know, what was already there and, you know, really kind of beef up the storytelling that was, you know, being told in the comics.
Yeah. If you needed validation, here it is. It works.
Thank you. Yes,
coming
please.
From fans of the comics that know it. Yes. So we have two questions about changes that were made about a very small character that maybe can be bigger.
Is it Shrinking Ray?
It's Shrinking Ray.
My segue. That was way too much setup for a pun that was already made was by already. Ryan.
But that's what makes it funny. That's what makes it funnier. Going. Is that
okay?
So she's alive.
Yes.
what was the is there a bigger reason as to why, like, because it was such a shock kind of in the comic, and that's another moment where when we were watching it, we're like, what's happening, what's going on? And then again, you shocked us, the readers.
No, it was very important to me that by the end of this season you realized that no one in that Lizard League sequence actually died. we're gonna bring back Iguana. We're gonna bring back Motor Dragon. They're all coming back.
It's gonna be like Darth Maul, have the spider legs or whatever.
Yeah. Only it'll be spider for Komodo Dragon. It'll just be like mechanical spider legs that pop out of his neck, and then the spider legs will walk, and then his dead body will just flop around. Spider legs move around. I'm gonna write that down. Oh, you're recording. No, in all seriousness, you know, Shrinking Ray is a different character, and she's cooler, and we feel like we could do more with her. So I think that, you know, realistically, it's a survivable thing. You know, all of her bones were broken and her body was pretty crushed, but it's something that she could, you know, survive from. And we just knew we had more story opportunity with her. So I guess I'll leave that at, you'll just have to watch season three.
Okay. Now, I mean, she was in a, you know, in her hospital bed, chamber type thing. It was a little hard to tell. Was she her full size? Or is she like stuck halfway, or is she just?
Yeah, she's she's still stuck at her whatever size she was when she almost died, because it's like a deliberate thing for her to change size.
Yeah. Okay.
So yeah.
That was a good catch by Ryan. He was like, I think she looked like smaller than she should be.
Because either that's a very big hospital bed.
Yeah. We made this hospital bed for giants, but she can use it.
Yeah.
You know, the GDA helps a lot of people of various sizes. It would make sense.
I mean, Komodo's really big. So it's like for her to crawl out, it's like, all right, well, it's hard to tell with that guy.
Yeah.
One big topic surrounding season two was the break between episode four and episode five. Fucking episode four. The intro to episode four was...
Oh my God.
One of the best like things I've seen in media ever, like the black hole. And like, it felt like the writers got together and they were like, we're not going to be able to redeem Nolan. There's no way to do it. But let's fucking try our damnedest. Cause you just feel for him. And I mean, obviously we have more of a connection as the readers of the comics, so we know where it goes, but oh man, it was just so awesome. And then to tie in, every shot with Debbie walking was just genius. It was so good. Such a good team working on this show that I think we've gotten to the point now where you're like, oh, there's going to be a break between episode four and episode five. And we just like shrugged our shoulders, like, okay, like we trust this team so much, and it always ends up working out. And it was awesome.
I wholeheartedly agree. I think is Helen Lay credited for writing that episode?
I think so.
I think she wrote. Yeah, I think that's
Jason Zurich and Dan Duncan.
They directed. I think that was Helen's. Gosh, is that Helen's first episode? Yeah, I know she co-wrote the Adam Eve thing with me, but Helen was a great addition to the team, starting in season two, and has been like a real, pivotal like core member of the writing team. And it's been great working with her and Simon Rasiopa and Ross Strachey and then our freelance writers that come in. It's been awesome being able to sit with the team and watch them dig in and get to know these characters better than I do. It's been a lot of fun, and they've done some really amazing work.
Speaking of, like, I think you mentioned earlier, it was Tanner that did episode three, right? The Alan the Alien episode.
Yes.
Incredible. I mean, like getting to do the narration, the voiceover, and the end credit scene being half the episode, like that was done just so pitch perfect and so fun too. So was that just like just a blast to work on, just having that be the Alan episode, the title card being Alan? And
yeah, that was a lot of fun. And I really have to give it to the team at Prime Video, like our executives and the team overseeing our executives, like everybody involved is really game for us to do weird stuff. That was one where I really didn't know if we'd be able to get, we want to make people think it's a 22 minute episode and then the credits are going to roll. And then we're going to have what's technically the longest after credit sequence in existence ever, but it's really just the rest of the episode.
Yeah.
And there is a chance that people could turn the show off these credits roll for a second, but we're going to risk it. And they were like, yeah, okay. Like, we'll see.
Amazing.
I'm so happy that they let us take chances like that. And that was a lot of fun. I was really excited for that episode to come out, just because, you know, it was such a weird, bizarre episode. And, you know, we're always trying to do something different. Like, above all, we just want to make a show that makes people go, oh, I didn't expect that. And, oh, I can't believe they're doing that. And, wow, that's weird. And, you know, that's why we, you know, have Fortnite guns and like weird cameos that shouldn't be there, and like all kinds of fun, wacky stuff, and, you know, weird tonal shifts, and it's just an overall bizarre show is the goal.
Yeah, you've been saying it for years now. Spider-Man is not in season two.
100% not.
You've been saying it. I don't know why everybody's shocked.
No, yeah, Agent Spider is not Spider-Man.
No. Yeah, and I'll announce. I'll announce right here. We're developing an Agent Spider show.
Could it be called the Spectacular Agent Spider? I would prefer.
Yeah. I mean, what else would it be called?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
No.
It's gonna be great. The guy's name is Professor Octopus.
Yeah, I love that. I caught Prof that Ock, one. Yeah. Prof Ock. One of the great moments from last time you were on this show is you talked about being in the booth with all of the actors and having just like moments like Ross Marquand doing Aquarius and deciding to do it like a underwater Jeff Bridges, like things yeah. like that were so entertaining to hear about. Are there other moments from recording season two that like stand out to you as just either funny moments or even Uh-oh. Really intense moments? Obviously the finale was crazy, but
yeah,
there's got to be an Octoboss story. There's got to be.
Well, these are the kind of questions where, it's hard for me to answer because again, season two and three,
a while ago,
I worry that I'll be like, oh yeah, and it's like, oh no, that's
don't worry about two. That. Don't worry about that. Yeah. You just speak your mind.
Yeah, and also this all happened years ago at this point. So yeah, let me see. Good Lord.
I will say Ryan and I we're huge This Is Us fans. So Sterling K. Brown, oh my God. He was so good like to start, but that finale, Jesus Christ, dude.
Yeah.
He was spectacular. He was so good. And yeah, that, you know, his recording sessions for that stuff were so powerful and moving and you know, he really got that, you know, Angstrom to his, from his perspective is a good guy. And there's like a real frustration that comes through in his performance from, you know, like don't you guys get it? I'm trying to do a good thing here. Mm-hmm. Dang it. I had an answer for the other thing. And then you said,
I was trying to fill the air.
it's kind of about Ross Marquand again. Ross, he does Omnipotus as well.
Yeah,
and, his omnipotence is a kind of a version of his impression of somebody that I'm not going to name, kind of like his Aquarius was a Jeff Bridges. If you listen to it though, I think you'll get it pretty quickly.
Right. But, I love this. I love this. I'm gonna have to go listen again.
it was a very specific person. He did it, and I was like we're in the booth, and we were like, yeah, that's great. Yeah. And he was like, oh yeah, I'm just doing my blank impression. And we were like, oh, okay, that's still fine.
Yeah. Yeah, we got we had the pleasure of meeting Ross Marquand, and he was awesome. He was really, really cool. So it must be cool to work with him.
It's fine.
Voices though. Last time, you know, we were talking about Battle Beast and getting oh shit. Worf.
Michael Dorn.
Michael Dorn. And so now Peter Cullen, I mean,
oh yeah.
What was that like? Oh, I mean, especially for you, man, like that's huge.
Well, so all of the voice records on the show for season one, we were in booths. It was all pre-pandemic.
Right.
Pandemic protocols have kind of like, they're kind of more convenient for the actors and the voice directors and stuff because everybody's just kind of zooming in from home in a lot of cases. And the actors will sometimes go into the studio if they don't have a home studio. Some of them do. So they'll be in the studio and then they'll be piping everything in through Zoom basically. And it's been a real blessing, especially with in two cases, the Peter Cullen records and the Sandra Oh records, because Sandra Oh records are making us cry all the time. And it's nice to just have your camera off and just be sitting there. And then you can just give notes and nobody knows you're all tearing up and stuff. But the Peter Cullen record would have been super weird if it was in person, because I would have just been, everybody knows
breathing on the glass.
Everybody knows the Transformers is a huge part of my life. At this point, I they must know. And it was just crazy, like hearing his voice come through the computer, and you know, saying lines of dialogue from a character I co-created, and it was just a real moving and indescribable feeling that washed over me, and I was just like, I don't know. I have that one line. He says it at the end where he's like, he is the key to winning this battle with the Viltrumites. I can't remember exactly good at that stuff. Yeah. But I have that saved on my phone. I listen to it from time to time. It's pretty cool.
I mean, yeah, and that's the one that sounds like it cuts to the end of the Transformers movie with Transformers the Linkin Park music.
Yeah, a little bit. Like, whatever.
Oh, yeah, it's great. Does Jason Mantzoukas know how much love Rex Bloat is getting this season?
I hope not.
It's probably for the best. Probably for the best.
I especially have been enjoying this season, and Bill hates that I've been enjoying it so much because
the less said about it, he's getting into it, the better. No,
yeah,
I was talking to him in private, and I was like, "We should pretend we have a beef." He was like, "I'm good. Let's do it." And I was like, "All right." And so for the last like 10 interviews, anytime he comes up, I go, "I don't know. That guy's a real asshole. I don't like him."
I like to think that you've been getting like, you know, a dozen episodes a month for the last several months, and he hasn't got any. So it just seems like you hate the guy, and like there's no other side of the beef.
The thing is, though, is like I'm doing interviews about Invincible all the time, so I'm mentioning him.
That's what I mean.
And he's just, you know, doing his podcasts and working and stuff, and it's a completely one-sided thing.
It doesn't come.
He's
up
welcome out. To come on this show and just talk trash about you all he wants.
I would love.
He can come
to
here.
Talk trash.
You don't want him stinking this show up.
At least you're consistent, Robert. At least you're consistent. So should we do a lightning round before we finish up?
Are we finishing up? I've been at this for.
I mean, how much? How to be on this thing, man?
Am I that bad of a guest? You guys just.
I have a question. I have a question. In an interview you did a while back, you were talking about season two and how there was something that you wanted to do that you hoped it would work out, and you hoped that it would be what you wanted it to be, and we're assuming that is Philip Shaft. So what went into that and kind of creating that? Do you have any stories behind that?
Well, we just wanted to, you know, we wanted to make sure that the jokes landed, and we had to adapt that scene for, you know, animation. And so that was something where, you know, we watched a bunch of different cartoons and tried to key in on like shortcuts that we were aware of and that, you know, stuck out to us, and we noticed them and everything. You know, tried to construct the scene as best we could. But then, you know, we knew we were going to be doing that visual gag. And so, you know, it's going to be a fairly lackluster visually sequence. And so we wanted to try and find somebody to do the voice work that could actually carry the sequence. And at some point, they were like, the guy's a comic book creator. Robert, you should do that voice. And I don't ever want to do a voice for the show because I don't ever want to hear my voice when I'm watching the show. I don't know. I've been pretty public. I'm anti-cameo. It bugs me when people, you know, when Peter Jackson shows up in the Lord of the Rings movies. I'm like,
he just bites a carrot. He just walks in front of the camera, bites a carrot, and then walks off. That was in one of the Hobbit movies.
I think I'm the only person on the planet that doesn't like him, because everybody else is like totally into it. So I get it, but it's just a thing that bugs me. So I never want to do it. But and I knew, you know, we needed to go big. Like, we needed somebody that could like carry the scene. You know, we're huge fans of I Think You Should Leave and Detroiters. I don't know if anyone out there has not seen the show Detroiters with Tim Robinson and Sam Richardson. Holy shit, that show is so amazing.
What is it? What is it on?
You guys don't know? It was on, was it on Comedy Central? I think it was on Comedy Central for two seasons. I think they did 10 episodes a season. It was the show he did before I Think You Should Leave. He did it right after SNL. It's the greatest, just the absolute greatest. It's about two ad guys that run an ad agency in Detroit, and they help like local businesses, and it's the silliest show ever. So I was like, Tim Robinson would be perfect. And he really pulled it off. we ended up, it was funny. We ended up getting a few reads from him over the course of the recording session. And it got to a point towards the end where I was like, look, man, I don't know how this is going to animate. So let's just do one where you go absolutely nuts. And he was like, yeah, okay, I can do that. And he was a super friendly, nice, accommodating guy. And which is, you know, fun if you're familiar with his work. It's like, you know, that's not who he is in real life. And he just went all out and was full on Tim Robinson. And I kind of wish we were able to use that take, but it just didn't make sense for a guy in a comic book convention to be doing that to a fan.
Yeah.
Like, it made me laugh because, you know, these are the kind of things I think about sometimes when I get one of those like autograph lines and I'm like signing for people and everybody's getting a different experience. And I'm like, well, I was just a different guy for this guy.
Yeah. And then
it was a different guy for that guy. Like, that'd be funny, right? And then you just realize, no, you're just making that guy walk away going, I didn't know Robert Kirkman was a lunatic. So sometimes I get weird thoughts about doing funny stuff, but yeah, it didn't make sense for him to be yelling into Mark's face.
Has he done any voice work before?
I know he was Ugly Sonic in that Chip and Dale movie that came out on Disney Plus.
Oh yeah.
I don't know if you remember they got the rights.
That's awesome. I didn't know that was him. That's really funny.
Yeah, in there and
that was great.
So yeah, I actually think that came out around the time that we were recording, and that was one of the things where we were like, "Oh shit, yeah, he did that voice of Sonic. We should see if he wants to do this." Because I think that was around the same time we were recording.
One thing I want to talk about that I just realized is a huge moment in this season that I thought was handled incredibly was Amber and Mark. Like,
oh yeah,
so many haters from season one, but I love that you guys just showed them up, and they just it's like. You know, such a beautiful end to that relationship and in such a great way too. Not only just, I mean, God, Zazie Beetz's performance in that scene is incredible. Yeah. Like, not to mention all of this was, you know, followed up from, you know, Anissa, which I mean, was also incredible. Like that whole episode was a ride, especially the second half.
Yeah, I mean, it really added a lot of weight to the Anissa, you know, like appearance and everything, and having that be the catalyst that led to their breakup. And yeah, I think Zazie did an amazing job. I mean, she did an amazing job every episode, but it was like, oh my God, like holy crap, like this is really, you know, it's really emotional. It's fun, like you really know that. You know, the scene is landing when you've seen it like 50 times over the course of the production. And when you're like in that final sound mix, you're, you know, watching the scene and you're like, oh geez, this is, you know, this is making me emotional. Even though I've seen this thing, you know, 400 times and I know exactly what's happening. So that was great. Shit, I feel like I had something else to say about that scene, and now it's I'm just gonna.
God damn it, TJ!
TJ, save me!
Fucking TJ!
No, just the reasoning that they kept giving, and like they clearly were trying to make it work, and just Amber being like, "I'm not part of that world, and I want to. I tried, but my life matters." Like the way that was handled, you know, in the show was so well done.
Yeah, I mean, that's you know, we're kind of trying to do like a realistic take on the Lois Lane situation. Like at a certain point, a boulder is going to be moving too fast and Superman is not going to be able to keep her from getting crushed.
Yeah,
you know, like that relationship is not going to end well, you know, in a more realistic scenario. So yeah, you know, that's definitely something that, you know, we wanted to explore and it led to, you know, kind of a sad outcome for old Amber, but she'll probably be better off. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
I also loved Rick and Donald.
Oh my God.
Kind of teaming them up was genius. And like the scene on the rooftop was just so, that whole episode was just one scene after the other of just emotion. And then we got that crazy ending. But yeah, I love that scene. I liked them teaming up as well.
Just Donald from season one. Like I remember when we first saw him, I was like, the fuck?
Yeah.
Like what's going on? Like from the beginning, I was like, what's going on, Robert? I need to know. And the fact that it was like a, like you didn't get me just once, but you got me twice because you did cover his backstory. Oh, he blew up and he died and that's why he's an android. But wait a minute. You fucking did it to me again. And from the very, very beginning, he was an android the whole time. So you tricked me twice.
Yeah.
Fucking great. Loved it.
Kind of.
Loved
it.
One other big change from season one to season two. Blue title card. No blue suit.
What's the I know, right? That? It's almost like we're like foreshadowing a blue suit prior to the blue suit existing on the way.
We were doing so many mental gymnastics trying to figure out how is he going to end up in the blue suit by the end of these events of this season, like thinking it was going to happen. But it
all
is a perfect like
drive you guys crazy.
It's a perfect tone setter, I think, going into season three, because even the people I think who haven't read the comic are seeing all of the people who have read the comic or seeing people sharing images online of like, you're not ready for the blue suit era of Invincible. Yeah. And it's such a cool way to get that excitement.
Let me go ahead and ease your craziness a little bit. By the time he wears the blue suit in the show, the title card will not be black and blue.
Wait, will it not have any black and blue in it at all?
No.
It'll be completely different?
I can't reveal too much. I don't think it's black and blue at all.
All kinds of exclusives.
So, okay.
Like and subscribe.
No, this is, you know what this has done? This has completely rewired our brains into the timeline of season three. We all thought we had it figured out, but we're wrong now.
All right. So we got season one all about, you know, Mark wanting to become his father. Season two, am I becoming my father? Now season three, and Wyatt, you brought this up or going to be bringing this up later in this episode, depending on where this fits. Wyatt, when you were talking about the finale, you're like, this whole thing, you know, season three is going to be about the trauma that Mark now carries after committing this, you know, this murder essentially that he believes he did, and how he is now going to rationalize and carry this weight that maybe he is his father. So I took it as like, this whole season has been about him, like the cracks showing, and now he has that. And that's, I mean, I'm not asking a question. I'm just kind of, now that we know this new information, it's almost like, you know, it's revealing, this whole season has been the reveal of the black and blue, but not sure what you mean by it not being black and blue for long now. That's interesting.
Well, I mean, I told you, the title card sequences aren't, they're not, you know, they're not like necessarily that literally like, the cracks in Mark's psyche are definitely showing. And that's why we're seeing the title card crumbling and stuff. But, you know, you'll just have to see what season three's title cards are and how they may apply to what's happening in season three.
We're going to have a whole episode of just picking apart every little thing you say in this interview and just like coming up with our own. Our own predictions. That's what we do.
Please do. And I can sit back and go, ha ha, they're wrong.
We normally are. We can't even pronounce like characters' names right. So
half the names.
Only been doing this for 8 years.
What's funny is I feel like there was an episode I listened to where you guys were breaking down the like how season two was gonna fall and what was gonna fall where. And like one of you would be right. And I'd be like, oh no. And then the other one would be like, nah, that's not what's going to happen. And I'd be like, all right. And then the ones that were wrong would convince the ones that were right that they were wrong. And it kept happening like a couple of times.
I had the prediction that we would definitely, that we, my like long shot prediction, which we did like a few months ago, was that we won't get black and blue suit in this season. And you guys convinced me like, no, of course we are. Of course we are.
Like, oh, right. It wasn't only us that convinced you that. The second we saw the title card in the first episode, we were all like, oh, we're getting the blue suit in season two. It's not even a question, but
that's crazy.
That was more,
Did the keys of the yellow and black Invincible in the trailer, did that mess you guys up? Did it make you
That was the whole thing. Even watching the season all the way up until we had watched the finale, like right before we hit play on the finale, I think we looked at each other and we're like, okay, so where is that going to happen? Because we know like we're gearing up for Angstrom right now. This doesn't make any sense. And then as soon as we saw it in the episode, of course, that was a head scratcher for a long time.
And we know season three is in production. We're like, did they just sneak a season three shot in there just to like mess with us? Yeah.
That would be funny. We should have done that.
There you go. Speaking of season three.
Oh boy.
Are you able to tell us
Nope.
I know. Wait a minute. You don't know what I'm going to ask you.
Okay.
I don't know how I can turn this into what
I got. Can I take it, Bill? Because I think I might.
Yeah, you can take it. You can.
Where there's smoke, there's fire. Where there's a Galdarian,
there's a technology that they may or may not wear to improve their strength against robotic force of aliens.
I don't know what you're talking about. I don't even know about. There's a Galdarian somewhere. What?
I will say seeing
Where's he at?
Knockout, yeah, seeing Knockout Kid Thor, that was exciting. It's like, okay, door opened up a little bit to some of these other Invincible Universe characters that we love. Like maybe seeing some more of them. That's cool. So getting to see like, all right, it's possible. That was exciting.
Yeah, I mean, there might be some room for some fun here and there, like the Knockout and Kid Thor appearance, but I wouldn't expect much.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, not actually what I was going to ask, Ryan. I appreciate you thinking that I care more about Tech Jacket than I do season 3 of Invincible, but
I know you.
Which I might. But I was just going to say, can you give us any kind of indication of when we'll be seeing season 3? Can you say whether or not it's going to be this year, or is it just no answer?
Yeah, it's got to be no answer. Sorry. I think there's Prime Video ninjas in my ceiling somewhere that are going to pop down and attack me if I give any kind of indication whatsoever.
I'm going to ask the question that everybody wants to know that you're not going to you may or may not answer, but I'm going to ask it anyways and just gauge your facial expressions. In between season 1 and 2, we got an amazing Adam Eve special. Season 2 had a lot of really cool Rex Bloat stuff where he talked about stuff that like you don't know about, like, oh, he spent a year and a half in Eve's room. Like, what's that about? Like, in her closet? Like, I don't know. Like, maybe we'll get like a Adam Eve and Rex Bloat special in between season 2 and 3, maybe, or something like that. Possibly.
His face got more and more less excited.
Sunken in.
I almost thought his camera froze because he was just
No, I hear what you're saying. There is definitely not a special in between season 2 and season 3.
All right.
Sorry.
I don't believe it though. He's being Robert Kirkman, guys. Don't let him fool you.
Did you not get enough spotlight on Rexplode?
I'm super happy. It was so much beyond what I wanted for Rexplode in season 2, but I'm greedy and I want more and more and more. And I just
you do love Rexplode, but you realize Jason Mantzoukas does the voice, right?
So consistent.
How can you like it so much?
I want it.
So here's what I will give you guys, because I have said this prior. So I have said many times that the gap between season 1 and 2 will be the longest gap ever between any seasons, and the gaps between future seasons will be much shorter. That large gap is what made that special.
Necessitated.
That's the word I was looking for. that large gap necessitated that special, and there won't be that large a gap between season 2 and 3. So no need for a special.
Yeah,
I respectfully don't believe you, Robert Kirkman. I think Texas is
wow. Well, I will respectfully sit back and enjoy you being wrong again.
We shall see. Pizza bet 2024.
Okay. Don't make bets with people that know the answer.
this is our life. This is what we do with Bill.
Uh-huh. Hey, Bill guessed the. What was it? The season 1?
Yeah, the launch date. Yep.
You got to give us some credit.
Broke the clock, right? Twice a day.
I will ride that horse into the sunset until the day I die. That'll be on my headstone.
I cannot tell you guys that you guys were guessing the season 2 launched, and I was just like, come on, Bill. Come on, Bill. I was so hoping you'd do it again. And then as soon as you gave your answer, I was like,
How many times would that have to happen for you to start suspecting that Bill had some kind of insider at Amazon?
Man, yeah, I don't know. If it had happened for season 2, I would have been suspicious.
Started asking questions. Yeah. I mean, normally towards the end of these things, we're talking about like, hey, you know, video games would be cool, board games would be cool, you know, all these kind of things. An art book would be awesome. Well, you guys kind of did it. I mean, you announced a lot of this stuff last summer at San Diego, and especially since November and the launch of season two, you guys have been like pumping stuff out. And I don't know when it was that you told us, but you said a while ago, before long, we're going to have more Invincible than we really know what to deal with. And we have been so busy at certain times where we're like trying to like enjoy all this stuff and like, you know, show it off and, you know, make videos out of it and have so much fun with this stuff. And you're right. I mean, you did it. And I mean,
it's testing
I feel
my
weird
marriage.
Asking if like we're getting more it's because like I don't really need it. You know what I mean? Like we've gotten it all.
Tip of the iceberg, guys. You haven't seen anything yet.
Come on.
Yeah, behind the scenes, it's just a barrage of, you know, it's me, Ryan, and Corey on Threads, just like approving this and approving that and going over this and going over that. It's nonstop almost every day.
What?
There's so much.
I think, like, you guys are getting.
I don't want to give too many specifics. There's so much more coming.
You're getting like a top tier board game company. You're getting Mortal Kombat, Fortnite, like. You know, you're picking the right things too. You're not just slapping the Invincible name on anybody that wants to use it too. So you guys are actually doing a good job picking the projects to partner with, though. So you saying that there's even more coming, it's just that's incredible. So
so much more.
It's really good for us because it means that the podcast will continue on. So give us stuff to do and talk about.
What do you do when you take a vacation from all of this stuff? What do you do? Like what's the best week look like when you're not working?
I only enjoy working.
Amazon is listening. They're listening.
Those are the Amazon ninjas right behind me.
No, I mean, I don't know. I don't really take a vacation without having to, you know, like I was on vacation during, we had actually gone to France when we were doing voice records and I was having to like wake up at 3 a.m. to do voice records in the US over Zoom. Wife was thrilled. but no, I mean, you know, the production on the show is such that, you know, like I do go on vacations, but I'm usually like on my laptop for a good portion of that stuff, you know, making sure I stay on top of things. Which again is not, you know, that's not a complaint. I love what I do. So it's totally, you know, if I can be on a Zoom with Peter Cullen while I'm on vacation in France, I feel like I'm living the life.
Right.
Yeah. I got no complaints there. but no, I don't know. I you know, were you asking me like what I would do for fun if I didn't have to work?
I mean, I did, but now I feel like I fucking have too much fun and I need to do more with my life.
No, not at all. There is a sickness in this guy that nobody wants. The constant need to be doing something is that's not healthy.
So, we enjoy it. So keep at it until it kills you, I guess. Because we'll be there just over your corpse. You know,
Bill, ingesting it all.
Jesus.
Oh no.
Yeah. And on that note.
I mean, you did it. Man.
Ask another question.
I don't know if I have other questions.
Your tattoo. Has he seen your tattoo?
Oh yeah. I don't know if you have. So I had a black hole tattoo already. So I added a little Nolan silhouette there from episode 4. Yeah.
But that, I mean, that's a radiant black tattoo, right? Or is it just
a
black hole tattoo?
It is, but I'm also just a big fan of like space. So it was an excuse to get a black hole tattoo that the radiant black logo looks very cool. And I love radiant black as well.
I know that this is a podcast as well as being on YouTube, so I apologize for the hand gestures, but so you're this big of a fan of Radiant Black, and you're this big of a fan of Invincible?
I'd still have you tattooed across my chest as well. So I have two Invincible tattoos.
That looks really small, too, though.
He works day in and day out for you, Wyatt. And you gave him two small tattoos.
That was like a collarbone afterthought. Like I thought, if
it's
across
a collarbone.
Your chest,
no, that's a collarbone one. Yeah.
To be fair, that's one of the most painful spots to get a tattoo, and he decided to get the Invincible one right there. So
true.
Not for Wyatt to be outdone, and the guys don't know this yet. However, I did start a half sleeve Invincible tattoo that will.
Oh, yeah. Hold on. Don't tell him. Don't tell him. Let him
until guess. He gives us. Have him give us something. No, TJ, don't.
Is that a Bracka Badoom?
Is that a
Rex Blode's big moment? It's going to be the overarching, and then a bunch of different Invincible type stuff in the background. So I'm working on it. I got my next appointment actually tomorrow morning, so it's going to take some time. Not showing it all off yet, but
DJ, the Bracka Doom looks awesome though. That looks
Does look great.
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome. Well, if I could reveal here for the first time, I've got a
an Invincible podcast tattoo.
It's just I got Optimus Prime. My whole back is covered with Optimus Prime.
It's just Ryan Ottley's face.
Yeah, I would get Ryan Ottley's face tattoo on my back. That's a good one. If there's one person on this planet I like less than Jason Mantzoukas.
Since the Ryan Ottley Robert Kirkman beef started, since it starts
definitely not.
All right, well, we'll wrap it up here, man. Thank you so much for coming on and talking with us and just celebrating Invincible and the end of season two. Don't know what we're gonna do for season finale for the season finale for three, because we don't have a milestone episode, so I don't know what that's gonna look like.
You guys can't pump out.
We gotta pump out a bunch.
56 episodes by the end of season three.
To be 200.
You said
you tell us. Are we going to be able to?
Well, you said that there's a lot of stuff coming out for Invincible, so we could do more episodes. We could get to 200. You never know.
True.
Maybe we just take it slow and go to 250 or 150.
Yeah, you could do that. Just
there you go.
Yeah, we'll just do six more episodes.
That's funny.
So thank you, man. This has been great. I hope you've been really enjoying it, you know, because we've been enjoying it like as much as I can see possible, and being part of the community and seeing everybody's reaction. It seems to have gone over so well. I just saw today, it still has a Rotten Tomato score of 100. So that's huge, man. Like, you guys have done it. You've done the damn thing. And I can't wait, because the way that season two has been put together, and we've been talking about this since the beginning of season two, we know you guys have worked on two and three back to back. So it just feels like season two is just part one of a two-part season, and season three is going to be insane.
Yeah, I mean, I'm really excited for people to see season three. I think that every season gets better than the one before it, and I think that season three is an advancement on season two, the way that I hope season two is an advancement on season one. I'm really excited for people to finally get to see it coming in. I'm not going to say.
I'll put the title card there.
That's where we'll end it. Where we'll just end it.
I'll put the title card.
Can I ask you this?
Please do.
Do you know a release date for the season premiere of three?
I don't know a specific date, but I know, you know, it'll be like, okay. Just because, you know, I assume it's going to announce, or I assume it's going to launch on a Thursday, because that's what we're doing with this season. So I just don't know what the date of the Thursdays around that range are, but I will say it will be in a month with Thursdays.
Shit. Well, that narrowed.
My heart stopped for
I'm telling you,
until
we're getting all the exclusives. We're getting all the exclusives.
Yeah. Unless between now and then, Prime Video changes their launch days and it moves to like Wednesday or Friday or whoever. Then it'll be in a month with a Wednesday or a Friday.
All right, I'll take that.
I wish I could tell you guys.
No, we don't need to. We don't need to know everything. It's okay. It gives us something to speculate about. So that's all we'll be doing until we get that announcement. So,
but yeah, you know what? Here, we're gonna have some fun. I'm taking over. I want all four of you to guess when you think season four is gonna come out, so that I can laugh at you.
Okay.
Season
three.
Freudian slip. Oh,
Freudian slip for sure. Specific days?
Time out. Do you want specific days or like windows?
Days.
I think it's got to be specific dates.
Okay.
All right. I'm going.
I think we've said this.
We have said it.
I think we have two, but I forget what my.
Yeah. Oh, have you guessed this mine. In a previous episode that I haven't heard?
Probably a couple times.
They all think 2025.
I'll go first. I'll go
2025, which is fucking ridiculous.
I got it.
Pessimists. Go ahead.
My God. You're crazy.
March 6th.
Oh,
I was going to say March 13th. Yeah. I don't remember what my official guess was when we did predictions, but yeah, I was going to say March
13th. Same way. I didn't remember which one.
February 13th.
All right, Bill, do it. Do it, Bill.
2026?
2025.
All right.
All right, Bill.
Mine's 2024.
Okay.
All right. I might change it a little bit because I said November, and now I think that that's a little...
No, go with it. Go with it. Because if you're right, you're going to hate yourself.
All right. I'm going to say it. I'm going to say the second week in November. So that would be November 7th.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's the first Thursday in November.
Of this year.
Of 2024.
Okay. Yep. Okay.
Anything exciting planned at San Diego yet?
Yeah, thank you for moving on because I was like, man, I don't know how to react to any of this.
I tried. That's why I'm here.
I got to, you know, somebody's going to be like, he blinked. And this is, you know, I was like, this was a bad idea, Robert. What did you do? Hopefully, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think we're still working things out, but there should be some big plans for San Diego.
Cool.
Cool.
So yeah, there should be. I mean, you know, we'll be announcing something of some kind, you know, in some form.
There you go.
What about New York? What about New York?
We'll be announcing something in New York as well.
Okay, good. At least I'm in the running still, as long as there's something in New York.
Yeah. No, there's definitely, yeah. I mean, and I'm talking like video games, you know, merchandising. Like there's definitely going to be announcements at both San Diego Comic-Con and New York Comic-Con.
Cool. We'll be looking forward to that, and we'll be podcasting about it and talking all about it and speculating about it and all that stuff. Thank you so much for coming on. You're always come on at the end of the comic series, at the end of season one, end of season two now. We appreciate it because you're the guy. You're like you're the one. The only one that we still need is we got to get Corey on here, man. I know he's not a big not a big interviewer guy, but come on, we gotta get him. We'd love to have Corey on. He's our pipe dream, but we'll keep dreaming.
I'll see if I can talk him into it.
We'll take that. All right,
series finale.
Yeah. Oh, wait, there you go. thanks again for coming on. It's been a blast as always, and then we will see you guys next time.
All right. Thank you so much.
Okay. Bye.